We are joined by Representative Christy Purcell of District 58A. Good morning, Christy. How are you?
Good morning, Rich. I am okay.
Are you?
I'm okay. Yep.
Good. Mm-hmm. I'm very glad to hear this. It's been a, do we call it a roller coaster week or just a whirlwind week?
Both of those analogies would be accurate.
Okay. All right. Give us an overview of like how things went from like Tuesday till yesterday afternoon.
Yes. Well, I feel really grateful that our leadership starting last week, you mm-hmm. know, was trying to negotiate with Republicans. Leader Damuth stood up our leadership on
Monday.
Thursday and Friday last week. And we had suggested, well, maybe we need some more people in the room. And so we had assembled a team of, I think, five mm-hmm. folks. And they were hanging out and waiting in the Capitol, and no Republicans came to discuss at the end of last week. So that was a pretty frustrating place to be. And just thinking, oh my gosh, like, are we really going to just hold out until mid-March? Because we need a power sharing agreement before we're going to go back. And so over the weekend, I'm sure there was some communication with them, because then negotiations started again in earnest this week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that team of people from our side, Leader Damuth brought a team of people from her side, and they really seemed to make a lot of progress.
Yeah.
So kind of getting that process unstuck.
What was there an impetus for getting the process unstuck? Was there anything out from outside
I think there were probably a lot of factors.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. It's all kind of speculative, but a KSTP poll came out that said, you know, most Minnesotans think Brad Tabke should,
mm-hmm.
you know,
should
represent his community. And that said that there needs to be a power sharing agreement. There was the Supreme Court case that was going to have oral arguments heard on Thursday
mm-hmm.
that the Republicans were suing Secretary of State's Steve Simon.
Hardest thing to say.
I've been practicing. My kids and I have been practicing like tongue twister.
Secretary of State Steve Simon.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I think that added some pressure. And I think, you know, it's February now.
Yeah.
And so all of the Greater Minnesota members, because the House was not duly organized, weren't having, if the place that they live in St. Paul is an apartment or a hotel, there are systems for reimbursement mm-hmm. for those.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that didn't happen for January, and then it didn't happen for February. And so there's a real financial hardship for Greater Minnesota members, as well as not getting a per diem for all members. So I think it was perhaps a combination of all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we made the decision to not provide quorum, the hope was that, you know, there was going to be a special election last week.
Right.
And then that got pushed back. And now the governor has declared that the special election will be March 11th.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, really then needing to think, well, are we, you know, can we keep staying out and staying firm until March 17th? And, you know, we had some caucuses and it was clear that we could do that. Mm-hmm. It's certainly a hardship and not the thing we wanted to do. So we're very glad that leadership came back to essentially the same deal that was offered before session started on January 13th.
There is one difference,
As far as I can tell, I mean, there's lots of detail things. And again, I wasn't in the room. But the one difference is that there's this government oversight committee that was formed. And it has a subpoena power, but it would need Democrats to vote with Republicans in order to subpoena someone. There are more Republicans on that committee, and that committee only has a Republican chair.
Oh.
And then all the other committees have co-chairs, co-vice chairs, alternating the gavels. If we win the special election March 11th and go back to a tie, That is all part of the power sharing agreement.
A lot of people feel like it's sort of a fait accompli that that District 40B is pretty strong DFL that'll.
I mean,
yeah, there's no way to.
No way to know, and special elections can be tricky.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's important for the Democrats that we do recapture that seat, mm-hmm. and, you know, but the folks in 40B, like, what a roller coaster for them.
Yeah, man.
Because right now they don't have representation.
Right. If I was in 40B, I would be livid with, I can't remember who, Kurt Johnson, is that his name? Yeah. I would be livid with that man right now.
And that's the thing. It's like, you know, is that motivating for people to participate in the special election?
Right.
Is that motivating for people to not vote for another Democrat and hold us all accountable for his...
Yeah. Just for context, the reason that seat had to be is vacant right now is because Kurt Johnson was the DFL candidate who won the election in November
handily,
and then it turns out he doesn't live in his district, so he had to vacate his seat.
Right, yeah. And so then that's the special election that Governor Walz has called now for March 11th.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So how was yesterday?
Yesterday, I got to go back to my little cubicle.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. That's in the great. Centennial office building, while the state office building is completely gutted.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like right now it's just totally a construction site over there. So I got to go back to my little cubicle and got to see my Republican colleagues for the first time.
That's great.
In, you know, since May.
Yeah.
Mostly. Yeah, it was strange. I think I was texting someone like same, but different.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I had to find my new seat on the floor. So
right.
I am in a different desk than I was the first 2 years. And so to find that and be at a different angle, you know, looking at the dais. But I've sort of forgotten I've only had like one first day of session before. And it's kind of excruciating. This is like 2 hours long of voice votes on things like speaker and chief clerk and sergeant at arms, and then all the chief clerk staff, and then all the sergeant at arms staff.
Wow.
And it was just, and even though like there was the slate of candidates. We did slate either for sergeant at arms or the clerk staff. It was still a voice vote, and they start with ACOM, and then she has to say slate, and then they say ACOM slate, and then they go to Agbaje slate, Agbaje slate. I mean, it's like so for 133 people to do that. I don't know how many times. I mean, it was sort of comical at the end because it was like. There's only one person who has been nominated to be our chief clerk, to be our...
Right.
So I sort of forgot, you know, these formalities. And some things we could just like use our buttons and vote. But mostly they were just roll calling everything because I guess tradition.
Yeah.
But it was sort of like, it was anticlimactic and kind of boring, which to be honest...
That's okay.
I'm pumped about.
Yeah, man. Because did you feel any acrimony on the floor yesterday?
It was tough.
Yeah.
It was tough. And, you know, like Lisa Daymuth is the first woman Republican who's ever been elected speaker.
First woman of color.
She's the person first of color. Woman of color.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, it's Black History Month. Mm-hmm. Like there is some historicness to this. And... there's a historicness to her being the first person to illegally and unconstitutionally claim that role 4 weeks ago.
Okay, yeah.
So it's a pretty mixed bag, I would say. So also the very first committee was held yesterday, which is the Rules Committee, which I now serve on.
Oh.
And... yeah, just kind of weird being in the committee room, and then all of our committees are being held in the Capitol again because our office space is under construction, and then we're in kind of cubicle land, and there just isn't the space for that in the Centennial office building. So I was like, oh, right. Okay. I have to find this room on the ground floor and then sit, you know, and look across the table at some of my colleagues who said some pretty mean things. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Melissa Hortman said this really well. Speaker emeritus, Melissa Hortman said very well, you know, the acrimony is for the campaign trail, and now our job is to govern.
Yeah.
And we all need to figure out a way forward.
Good.
Yeah.
Glad to hear that. You've got a big job ahead of you moving forward. I want to ask you about how it's all going to work. But first, you're on the Rules Committee. What are your committee assignments this year?
Rules, health, and I'm co-vice chair of the Environment Committee. Okay. Hopefully, once we get back to a tie.
Okay.
But right now, as we are one seat down, I'm just, you know, basically like minority members of those three.
Three committees.
Mm-hmm.
Were you on four?
I was, yeah.
But you've got some leadership position now. Is that, how that
everyone
works?
Is basically on three committees now because of the eventual tie, perhaps.
I get it. Yeah. Okay. I want to ask you about the Rules Committee. Like, what rules? What do you guys do?
So I'm learning that.
Oh, okay.
And it's so funny. Before all of this drama, people were like, oh, Rules Committee's so boring.
Oh, dear.
And now I'm like, Rules Committee is super important.
Yeah.
So it sets the rules for all the staff who work for the House of Representatives, you know, kind of HR policies. It also sets some of the rules for the members, HR policies. And so I guess part of the agreement that leadership came back with was there has to be mutually agreed upon any changes to the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And if there can't be that mutual agreement, then we just default to how the rules were last biennium.
Okay. All right.
So that's last night. What we did was we passed the rules package that was like HR basically saying the same. All the things are staying the same, just so that the house could be organized and people could, you know, make sure they're still getting paychecks.
You didn't have to do the Purcell yes, Purcell yes, Purcell yes thing?
No.
Of the voice vote thing?
No, luckily, and everything was like pre-agreed upon and was fine. So it was just a voice vote of it was not acrimonious at all. And then, you know, there's a bunch of new members on the other side of the aisle, I think 22. So a couple of whom I have met before, Keith Allen, who's representing Faribault Owatonna, and then East, his farm, I think, is like further east. And he worked for Brad Finstead's campaign, and I met him at a Farmers Union event. He's a Farmers Union member, as am I. So, you know, we're collaborating on some things. We touched base yesterday. But to be in committee and... Harry Niska had us all do like a little introduction and, you know, what's the best place to eat in your district, which is really hard.
Yeah, that's real. How do you, now, wait a minute. How are you going to, you're an elected official.
I know.
How are you supposed to single something
there
out?
There were people who were trying to abstain from answering that and he was not having it. He was like, nope, you got to pick something. It was
come
like,
on, Harry.
I mean, my friend Sydney Jordan was next to me. She represents Northeast Minneapolis. She was like,
"Oh my gosh!"
She's like, "I have 12 breweries and, you know, 4 James Beard award-winning restaurants." Anyway, so it was like kind of strange that it was kind of normal.
That's good.
Yeah. Yes.
That's
so it's
going
to take a little readjusting.
Right. But. Okay. So now, moving forward, you are today's an in district. Excuse me. Hang on. Sorry about that. Today's an in-district day, so you're doing work in your district here.
Yep.
You'll be back on Monday.
Yes.
And that's when the real work like begins in earnest.
So that's when kind of next week we'll move into our typical committee schedule.
Okay.
So committees. We have floor again on Monday, so typically the schedule is floor on Mondays and Thursdays. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and it's you know the beginning of session. So I dropped, I think just two bills yesterday, but of kind of running around and signing on to people's bills and you know, signed the right to repair bill we got back from the reviser yesterday. So that was also a beautiful coincidence. And giving that back to Farmers Union, and they're going to get more signatures so that I don't have to run around and do that. So next week will be kind of just figuring out what the rhythm is and what the schedule is and, you know, where the committees meet and who all is on committees and sort of get that down. I mean, there are things I'm continuing to do. I'm trying to do a outreach and make sure that people feel like they have a direct line to me, especially renters. So I was going to be door knocking some of the larger rental units in town last night had I not been called to the floor because an agreement was reached, which was great. But trying to do concerted outreach, you know, kind of a small business listening session and then, you know, more of like working peoples and renters.
Yeah.
Just to sort of hear directly from groups of people who, you know, they deserve a direct line to their representation. And so trying to figure out how to do that during session when I just have to be in St. Paul so much versus it's been really nice to be able to be home and in district a lot more. In the earlier part of the week, I attended a presentation from the Rice County Chemical and Mental Health Coalition.
Oh, yeah.
Fascinating. So much work and coordination goes into that. So looking forward to being on the health committee, seeing how I can support that. And I met with students at Carleton. So that stuff will continue. It'll just be a little tricky, you know, more like Fridays and weekends to do that work. But that in-district work is super important and that continues.
Yeah. All right. So with just a couple of minutes left, we have to talk about the fact that there's a budget that's going to be due at the end of this session. First of all, do you get, like, there's a constitutional mandate that says you have to end sometime in May.
May 19th.
Okay. All right. Because things got bumped 3 weeks, do you get to bump that that deadline?
Absolutely not. Okay. No, no, no. We like to follow the Constitution.
Okay. I get it. Which, by and large, is always a good idea.
I think so.
You know, it's there for a reason.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So how's this going to work? I mean, I know that there's 11 million moving parts that go into a budget, right? Without putting you on the spot and asking you to absolutely predict, I'm worried, Christy, that you guys aren't going to be able to do it. You're going to have to be in special session in June, and a state government shutdown, which would happen if there is no budget by July 1st.
Correct.
Would be painful.
Oh, yeah. And especially with what we're seeing from the federal level and like threats of shutdown every few months as they just kick the can down the road. It is apparent to me, especially from leadership, but no one wants a special session. I can't remember who said there's nothing special about a special session. so no one wants that. Now, there's a few factors, but I, by and large, am hopeful that we will have a budget by May 19th. So the Senate has been in session all along. You know, the executive branch, they released their kind of first draft of a budget. But typically, on these odd-numbered years, there's, you know, at least a couple weeks in most of the committees is spent on overviews and spent on, you know, presentations from the different agencies. And so we don't necessarily get into the real meat of budget bills until about now. Also, the budget forecast is going to be coming later, the February forecast, which is sort of the final one.
That's what a lot of people think is the most accurate
one. Yes, exactly. And so that's coming out even later than other years for reasons not having to do with the organization of the Minnesota
House. So we get the February forecast in March.
March 19th.
Oh, wow. Yes. That is late.
Yep.
Wow.
So that is...
That gives you guys 2 months.
Yeah. So that is at least as big of a factor. And part of the power sharing agreement is that we'll still come up with these shared budget targets. Because what has happened before I was in the House is that the Senate would come up with their own, mm-hmm. you know, this committee gets this many dollars and this committee gets, and then the House would have a totally different configuration and the governor's office would have a totally different configuration. So something that has really been helpful and saved a lot of time is that the last 2 years, all three of those entities came together to at least say, you know, here's the target for each committee.
Okay.
And that saves time than reconciling, like, well, we had, you know, $4 million for this whole committee. Well, we had $4 billion.
Yeah.
So that is part of the agreement. So that will cut down on sort of later in session.
Fewer time in conference committee and or less time hopefully. In conference committee.
Hopefully. Because everyone is working with the same overall number anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
And then, no one wants to be in session in June.
No.
Like the weather finally gets nice at
exactly.
the end of
there's always the big celebration and like some big like press conference or something on the Capitol steps at the end of the session, and the weather's always just absolutely beautiful. That's the one thing
after
I think about.
After driving through wind and snow for 4 months, then right at the very end.
Yeah, it's great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and 2 years ago it was smoky. We had all the fires from Canada.
That's right.
But yes, that's the hope. No one wants that, and now we're committed to working together. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hopeful that we can do that.
Good. We're going to talk more next week. I'm looking forward now to these conversations. I always look forward to these conversations because
sure.
it's great to talk with you. No, it is. I think this is going to be a really important session. You guys have an opportunity here to actually maybe set an example for the rest of the country.
Well, and I think that's what's really important is there is so much uncertainty coming from, you know, things change on the daily from the federal government. And so it's really important now that we are organized and that we are focused on the work ahead and not, you know, the sort of partisan fighting.
Right.
No one wants that. Minnesotans don't want that. We don't want that. We have a job to do and we're committed to doing it.
Good. Good. Christy, thank you. We always appreciate the time.
Thank you. See you next week.
Good to see you. That's Representative Christy Purcell. We are